Blog Talk Radio.
You have room on your team for this little space, bitch.
I'm your host, Todd, the True Guru Freeno, and of course, I will be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. R.C. Rizza, as we are now in the playoffs for your fantasy season of football, unless, of course, we play that DFS crap, and then, you know, it's another week for you to lose some former poker player who lost his ability to gamble in poker, so now he's gambling in DFS. But that's another story for another day. Right now, we're going to focus on the playoffs. We got some injury bugs biting. We got some, you know, players that we need to discuss who are normally everyday starters, but now you just can't trust them. I mean, once you get to the playoffs, you know, I've always said, you know, it's always start your studs, go with the, you know, your best capable roster most of the time. But I kind of changed that philosophy a little bit in the playoffs because in the playoffs it's one or done. You know, you can gamble with your studs and hopefully get across and get through. A week, you know, with those guys, maybe playing against tough defense. But if you lose the playoffs, you know, it's one and done, and that's where the problem comes to fruition. Last week we discussed, as I'm waiting for RC to join us here in a moment. Last week we discussed, and I had a lot of leagues. You know, it's been a poor season. This has been my worst fantasy sports season, I have to say. Since 1929, that made that up. I wasn't alive in 1929, so I'm just kidding. It's just my worst on record, and primarily because I took a little bit of a risk with some players. I'm not going to lie about that. But it was mostly because of just injury woes that really befell my teams like it did a lot of people. And that's why I think there's a lot of really good teams out there that just failed to make the playoffs. Probably because, you know, major players were lost. You lost the Andrew Luck from the Le'Veon Bell, Steve Smith, all those players that were key components of fantasy teams didn't make it. But if you did make it, and I did, don't get me wrong, I made it in one of the Blog Talk Radio Leagues, and I'm going to talk about that today. In Blog Talk Radio League 2, I just want to give some shout-out to the guys who did make the playoffs, who had fantastic seasons. First of all, in this league, I made the 8th seed. I still lost, but because of this team, this league just being just tough, some guys didn't make the league very well, and some did. And in this case, in Block Talk Radio 2, I get to play in glorious Bradford's. I get to play him. He was the best team in the league. I was the worst to make it to the playoffs. I get to take him on. And I bet you right now he feels a little bit bad. He's got to take on the True Guru. After having a dominant 9-4 season, and you have to play me at 5-8, and it's just already not looking like a good matchup for him. And I'll probably, you know, I might take him out. Who knows? If I take him out, it's going to upset him. But that's why you always want to try to make it in the playoffs. Hey, did the world cry when the 9-7 New York Giants beat the 16-0? I'm assuming I remember that correctly. That was the 16-0 Patriots for the Super Bowl. Yeah, they did. They won the Super Bowl. Okay, so I'm assuming I'm getting the right Super Bowl because I know they met twice. I'm quite positive that's the right one. But if I'm wrong about that, they still won the Super Bowl going 9-7, squeaked into the playoffs, were able to get healthy, get momentum, and that's what it's about in the playoffs. Gaining momentum and having a healthy squad that you can start and you can roll with. And we'll also get to some phone calls as well in this show, and we're going to help everybody along win, except for that dirtbag cheater RC, who managed to construct a league scoring system to where a kicker kicks 4 field goals and an extra point and gets 15 points. So I'm going to have RC explain that, because I lost to him by 4 points in the Halifax League, which knocked me out of the playoffs. But I want RC to explain how Dan Bailey got 15 points, RC, on 4 field goals, one of them 54 yards, and an extra point. How did that happen, RC?
Well, is that so astounding? Let's see, isn't that just he probably – it could be like 5 points for a 50 and 4 points for a 40 or something like that. But if you just went conventional 3 points, 4 field goals is 12 points right there plus the extra point. That was 13, so there was like 2 extra points. And what, I beat you by 4?
Yeah, I have 202 to 198, yeah.
I don't even remember having Dan Bailey. Was that my kicker?
No, that's my kicker. That's my kicker.
Oh, that was your kicker. Okay.
See, the problem that I had with it was not that it was a kicker. It was that is that the punters in this league.
Yeah, you were talking about Dan Bailey and getting 15 points, and obviously, you know, that was explainable. The punters, I warned you about that. It took me like 4 years to figure out what was going on with the punters. But, yeah, this is a very rare league where we use punters, and the scoring is essentially there's like a scale for it, your average punt. So, obviously, if you end up with an average of like 50, which I had the punter from St. Louis, Johnny Hecker, and he usually comes close to that, I think – he might have done that. And then you get bonus points for each punt that lands inside the opponent's 20. And I think he had like 4 or 5 of those, and that those were like maybe 5 points apiece or something like that. So, yeah, but yeah, the punters are tricky, and there's a little bit of volatility too, because they'll range from, you know, high teens all the way into the 40s, as you saw. So, yep.
Well, no, I had both kickers in that game. I had both the Dallas punter, and every punt he did, he got within the 20. And in fact, he actually recovered a fumble. I thought that was amazing. And he still only put up 18 points. And I looked over at your punter, and he goes, wow, he put up 40 points. And I said, well, I'm gonna win with this last 50-yard field goal that Dan Bailey makes. And I only got like 5 points for it. And I was just a little shocked to see that. How good of a day my kicker, I'm blanking on his name, Chris something, whatever his kid's name is, Jones. Yeah, Jones, yep. For the Cowboys only got like 18 points, and then Bailey only got like 18 points. And I look over at your kick punt, and he got 40 points. I'm like, how much better than his kick? It's just a confusing league, and I kind of thought that I had the comeback there. But, I mean, it's here nor there. It's what happened. You know, it's the game.
Okay, well, now how about your league where this is basically Ryan Tannehill's fault, but your scoring is and you explain why you did this and it made sense, but your scoring is very QB centric. So if you have a bad week from your QB, you're pretty much doomed. And you know, this is a guy who he's been really up and down. I mean, he's been fairly dependable, but Ryan Tannehill this past week in a good matchup really destroyed everybody who started him, and especially in your league where, you know, if you don't get like 35 points from your QB, you're probably going to lose. And I ended up getting, I think, 10 or maybe less than that. But what's going on with Ryan Tannehill? I'm benching him this week because they just changed their offensive coordinator. And I know they've got another great matchup versus the Giants, but I'm not going near them.
Yeah, obviously Tannehill was one of the guys that I was, obviously incredibly high on to start the season with the team he had behind him with Landry and acquiring Kenny Stills and just really load up. And, of course, having the backfield that he had. And it just didn't pan out.
Matter of fact, you know, I think I was kind of lukewarm on him, and you might have been a little bit higher, and I don't think you were wrong. He's actually been pretty good this year up until – but one thing he couldn't control was really the tumultuous situation with the coaching. And, you know, so he's been fairly good up until this past week. And this past week was another change in offensive coordinator, and I think the game plan, at least this past week, was very conservative and lean on the run. And that's why, you know, so on the balance of the season, he's been fairly good. But I think right now, if you have him, you have to be a little bit cautious starting him.
And who are the Dolphins playing this week? I am not.
Giants.
Take a look. Giants, it's not a bad, that isn't a bad play for them. You know,
no,
for,
but neither
you know, to go up against the Giants, that's a great play for Tannehill. Number one, because you know the Giants are going to throw the book at the Dolphins, and I think this wouldn't. Why would you not think this is a good week to give them a shot?
Well, I thought last week against Baltimore was a great week too, right? So, you know, there's right. So you have a point. You know, sometimes it's a mistake to ignore, you know, the totality of the season and then just focus on the most recent game. But in this case, given that they did change the offensive coordinator, I picked up Tyrod Taylor, and I feel comfortable that he can do probably as well as Tannehill, so I'm just going to go with him.
All right. And, of course, you know I didn't make the playoffs in that league. I'm in a toilet bowl arena for that wonderful matchup. But I did make it in several leagues. I mean, I was talking about before you joined in, about, you know, it was just a tough season for me. I mean, the only league I really dominated was the Mike Wars League. I went 9-4 there. And then, of course, I went 8-5 in Evan Silva's Sports Writers League. So I made the playoffs in both those leagues. I almost beat Evan in the final game of the matchup. He plays a good game. He put up 170 points, and I put up 154 points in a 14-team league. And I could have taken him. But didn't have enough pop at the end with Jason Witten. Kind of needed a couple touchdowns out of Witten and didn't get anything out of that team. But we'll get on to all that. I want to talk about a few topics. We've got Kenny waiting for us on the line. I'm sure he needs some help. A couple of topics I want to bring up, RC, first of all, obviously, is we're now in, for most leagues, we're in a playoff scenario. But I want to talk about a critical issue that's going on right now, and that is what is going on with the Eagles. The Eagles had a great upset victory over the really just absolutely beat-down Patriots, which is about time because I almost thought they were cheating with injury players because they just never seem to take serious injuries. And that's a joke. But now they're really feeling the injury both on defense and on offense, and they were without, of course, Gronkowski this week. So I'd like to get an update on what – do you feel Gronkowski is going to be back? Because this is an absolutely critical week if you're a Gronkowski owner and you probably made the playoffs. Will you have him for your playoff match? But before we get to the them, I want to discuss this Eagle running game. Because the question now becomes – I mean, it's been most of the year nobody wants to start DeMarco Murray. You have Ryan Matthews, who is currently questionable. It's another injury we have to update to see if he's even going to be feasible to play. And then there's Darren Sproles. What would you do with this running game of the Eagles if you had to start any of these guys, regardless of who they're playing? What would you do?
Man, I really think the only guy you can really treat as, and you really can't treat him as any more than like a number two or a flex, is really DeMarco Murray. And, you know, as you alluded to, he hasn't, of course, given the situation, he hasn't been terribly consistent. To say the least, you know, looking at his last, well, the last game was pretty horrible. You know, eight carries for 24 yards. And before that was pretty awful in terms of, like, yards per carry, where he had 2.1, finished the day with only 30 yards. But I think, you know, he's the one guy that you can probably stick in there for somewhat. If you have to depend on Eagles running backs, he's probably the most consistent. The other guys you're playing for upside, and so they're like good flex guys where who knows when it could happen, but certainly with, you know, Matthews back and Sproles is always a threat to score on a play. You know, anytime he touches the ball, he's a threat to score. But, yeah, the best thing to do is really just stay far away from it, but – I mean, if you absolutely have to start these guys, then you do, and you just hope for the best. And you know, Sproles and Matthews are very talented. So, I mean, if I had them and I had to use them as a flex, absolutely had to because of injuries at this point, we're not talking about bye weeks anymore, then I could. And I would use, you know, Murray as like a number two or three at best. And the Eagles have been obviously paradoxical all season, especially their defense. I mean, they basically won with the same formula that they used to beat the Jets. I remember, you know, that game, which was really defense, special teams. You know, obviously, you know, block kick and kickoff return, and they had one other special teams defense score. But otherwise, I mean, you know, that team, there's just no way to figure out. But then again, I mean, there's a lot of team situations that have been very tough to figure out. And like you said, this has been a horrendous year for injuries. Absolutely horrendous, especially at the top end of the running backs, right? You know, and then also with a good number of quarterbacks as well. You know, losing Andrew Luck, Joe Flacco, not that he was really being depended on. But it's been a very interesting year for quarterbacks too, because when you look at what you could have done really with a draft pick later in the draft instead of spending a pick early, there probably has not been a more pronounced year for waiting on a quarterback. Because really, in many scoring systems, Cam Newton is probably the top guy. No one expected that. And he was going in as late as, you know, the 11th, 12th round in some cases, where, you know, Andrew Luck was the first guy picked, and he basically has just killed fantasy teams.
Absolutely. All right, so what do you think, what is going to be going on with Gronkowski? The word on the street is, number one, he didn't practice today, and the word on the street is he is most likely going to be out. Now, this has got to be devastating news if you're in the playoffs with them. I mean, and one of the five or so teams that I'm in the playoffs with does have Gronkowski on it, so that will affect me. But what do you think, the prognosis here? They just lost. They've lost two in a row now, in fact. Is this something that they're going to urge to get on, or are they going to sit and say, listen, we're going to the playoffs regardless, we're going to sit him out?
Well, it's been tough to lose Gronkowski and Edelman, because those are really the linchpin guys in that offense. Gronkowski, I would not expect back this week. Chandler's not a bad player, but he's obviously not Gronkowski. Nobody is, actually. I mean, it's hard to find a parallel to Gronkowski across all the tight ends. I mean, just the brute force that he represents, and, you know, guys bouncing off him. There isn't anyone like that. Chandler is not that. But it doesn't look likely that he's going to play this week, so I think you need to make alternative plans if you have him. You know who is coming back? Tyler Eifert made it back to practice, so that's good news. So you'll have him if... And also, you know, we're finally going to see Austin Seferian Jenkins, most likely.
I thought we did see him last week. I thought he got into the game last week.
Yeah, well, did he? I don't think he did much, right?
I think he had a couple of catches. It was not much of a game for him. He wasn't there on that many snaps, but he was out there.
What was he? Okay, I guess you know he hid pretty well because 3 for 31. So, tight end, you know, position this year has really been fluky as well, right? except for Gronkowski before he got injured, who has really been dependable? That's another position where, you know, it definitely paid. I know, you know, that was definitely your strategy for tight ends. You were not going anywhere near a tight end in the early rounds, and certainly – if it wasn't Gronkowski, then there was really no reason to go early for a tight end. Even, you know, Jimmy Graham was probably, I guess, the second guy taken, and he's been a disaster for the most part. I mean, he's been okay. Tyler Eifert was a guy that you could have gotten pretty late. And who have been the the other productive.
Barnage hasn't been too shabby.
Barnage was an afterthought in every draft, I would imagine. No one drafted Barnage, right?
No.
Crockett Gilmore has been pretty good. Obviously, no one drafted him. Guys that have been really inconsistent over their short careers, like who's the guy from the Eagles?
Zach Ertz,
right. Zach Ertz actually has been usable, but no one was touching him in drafts, right? So tight end was definitely a position where, if you didn't get Gronkowski, you could have gone without drafting one and then just picked one up in week three and been fine.
All right, let's go ahead and let's get to Kenny now. I want to make sure we get to him and have the time to cover him. And then I want you to get – we're going to go ahead and cover the rest of the injuries. Then we're going to do a little bit of a playoff talk of our own because I think we're both involved in the both Block Talk Radio League's playoffs, so we got to give a little chat to that. But let's go ahead and get Kenny here and see how he's doing. Kenny, how you doing?
Oh, hey, RC. Hey, Todd, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
Great.
Pretty good.
So I assume you made the playoffs?
I really enjoyed this. Yeah, I made the playoffs, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure you guys made the playoffs in a bunch of your leagues also.
I think
I really enjoyed the show last week. That was a really good show. It was a really good show. You touched on a lot of players that I was thinking about. My league's kind of weird. So this is the last week of pickups. Well, tonight is the last week that we can actually put in waiver claims. And that's for the rest. So if somebody goes down, somebody gets hurt, you just have to kind of like hold on to them. All right, so I guess like the main topic would be the Saints running back situation, but I don't think any of those guys are going to be valuable, Spiller or Hightower. How do you guys feel about Amir Abdullah for the rest of the season?
I think he's definitely trending up. I think Joik Bell is really showing us about what he's going to be able to do this year. He obviously came out of the gate pretty slow with injuries and stuff, and I think he's really peaked. And the Lions have realized that Amir Abdullah really is a more dynamic player. He's definitely been pretty good, a big improvement over the last 3 weeks. I think he's actually going to be useful. That offense, I think that's a situation where, as opposed to like the Dolphins, they're kind of carousel of coordinators. I think that the Lions really settled on somebody that has been a stabilizing force for them. And, because you can definitely see the improvement in Stafford. So, but I was trying to check out Kenny. I mean, what do you think of like their schedule down the stretch though?
Looks great. I mean, they have the Saints and San Fran. This week they have St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis is a little rough, but if you can do anything against St. Louis, you can run against them. And with Abdullah, he's good out of the backfield as well. The only guy that, you have to be a little concerned with is Theo Riddick, to the extent where he's involved, because he's a little bit similar to Abdullah, but the good thing about Abdullah is that he also has the ability to run inside where Theo Riddick really could never do that. But as far as like the third down usage, both guys can kind of do the same thing. But yeah, I think Abdullah is going to be fairly useful down the stretch. Todd, let me
step in this. I actually like Amir Abdullah now because, I mean, the Detroit Lions are, number one, are kind of in a phase where they're going to start evaluating players. I mean, clearly they're not going to make the playoffs. So it's an evaluation period for them. So it'd be wise for them to take advantage of Theo Riddick again. Obviously they know what he's good for. But also to see what Amir Abdullah can offer. And Joik Bell, they know what he's worth. He'll be healthier next year and better. But they definitely want to get him the carries, get him the reps. because next year they obviously everybody's going to hope in that organization that he plays a far bigger role. So a lot of people cut Abdullah, rightfully so. I picked him up in several leagues because I figured down the stretch he would be useful. And being that Matthew Stafford's kind of found a groove and that offense is rolling now, that only bodes well for Amir Abdullah each week that he goes by. And especially I agree with RC that against the Rams, Abdullah is a great start because you're going to probably see a lot of passes out of the backfield, a lot of screens, a lot of plays like that against that front seven of the Rams. And it all bodes well for him, at least for fantasy points. Maybe not touchdowns, but fantasy points. So I'm cool with him.
Okay, great.
By the way, talking about the Lions, you know what's not a bad week is the Lions' defense, the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny, is that your dog?
No, that's not mine, no.
Okay.
No,
Todd, is that your 250-pound dog?
Yeah, that's my 250-pound dog going crazy outside. So clearly Santa Claus is coming early.
not to your house. He's going to be running from your house.
Okay, so, all right, quarterbacks for the rest of the season. You had to pick up one, and you had to ride with him for the rest of the way. Would it be Winston, Tyrod Taylor, or Brian Hoyer?
Oh, definitely. Well, strike off Brian Hoyer. But, Todd, between, right? I mean, do you agree?
I'm not going to say strike off Hoyer. I wouldn't say that because Hoyer has been, you know, one thing that you want to make sure you get, and this is the kicker, especially in leagues where quarterbacks are thin, and trust me, if you're in any kind of 14-team league, your quarterback is thin, and even 12-team leagues, quarterbacks are thin. I'll tell you right now, Brian Hoyer has been surprisingly consistent of lately, and if you look at the matchups he's got coming up right now, he's got New England this week. And New England is a team that you can easily throw on, especially with the injuries in their secondary. So you can handle them. And I'm trying to see what he has coming up in the future here for the next couple of weeks. I know doesn't he still have the Colts on his schedule? I think he has. Yeah, he has the Colts.
Yes.
And then he has Tennessee and Jacksonville. So, I mean, he has four games. Granted, week 17 probably isn't going to matter. But all four teams are teams that a quarterback can be very effective against. So I would not necessarily discount Hoyer. The one that I would probably want to discount out of those three automatically, if I had to automatically eliminate somebody, is going to be that of Jameis Winston. He does have New Orleans this week, so he should be all right, but he's still a rookie. But then the next 2 weeks, which are gates are going to matter, he's going to be at St. Louis, which never is going to bode well for any quarterback. And he's going to be he's going to travel to Chicago, and Chicago plays a decent defense. He's not going to travel to Chicago. He's going to be in Tampa against Chicago. Those two matchups just aren't, like, gleaming to me for Winston. And then who was the other one? Was it Taylor?
Yes, Taylor, but I was worried about him against Dallas.
See, yeah, you have Dallas. Now, the one good thing about him with Dallas is that Sammy Watkins should be able to, manipulate Dallas. The cornerbacks on Dallas, just aren't that good. And, now granted, Rod Marinelli does play a bend but don't break defense. So I can see, him putting up some points. But if you look at a lot of the good quarterbacks that have played against the Cowboys, they put up points against them. The guy, I have to admit, RC, I mean, who would you take? I'm looking at Tyrod Taylor's Bills schedule coming up. He's got Philadelphia this week. He's going to be at Philadelphia. Then he has to go to Washington. Then he has to come home to Dallas. And then he plays the Jets. Again, week 17 probably doesn't matter. But those three, he has to play three NFC East teams, of which of late have all played pretty solid defense. I have to say that would be the one that I guess I would back away from.
What? Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like Taylor out of the three, but, I kind of wonder how Taylor's doing it because, Watkins finally made it back, and obviously he's an elite receiver. Charles Clay really, notwithstanding what he scored last week, really hasn't done much. Robert Woods, has finally had a decent season, but he doesn't really scare anyone. I like, you know, McCoy out of the backfield, but you just have to wonder, you know, but the thing, the dimension that he gives you over and above the other guys is really his running ability. And that could make a difference, and that would be the why I would give him an edge. I really like the development of Winston. I think every week this year he seems to have gotten a little bit better. So he would be my second choice. And Todd, I understand your point on Hoyer. He's been fairly reliable, except for, you know, recently that week against the Bengals, and that was, I guess, excusable, you know, where he had like 120 yards. You know, that was a tough defense. You know, you have to like the fact that he's throwing to one of the best receivers in the league. But I think because of the running ability, I would just give a slight edge to Taylor, and Winston would be my second guy.
All right, there you go. You have to decide on that one, Kenny.
Okay, all right. All right, last question. Okay, so out of wide receivers that you guys will hold on for the rest of the season, would you rather have Michael Floyd or DeSean Jackson?
Oh, wow. I have Michael Floyd. I mean, he's probable this week. He's coming back. He has more breakout potential. I just think DeSean Jackson is just too much a distraction to himself.
Okay.
Percy?
Yeah, I mean, I love DeSean Jackson, but he's just so unreliable, and he's obviously the prototypical all-or-nothing guy. You know, where Michael Floyd, when healthy, and not to mention, I mean, that offense has really just been so good this year with Carson Palmer back to his old, you know, 2005 self. So, yeah, I'd give an edge to Floyd for consistency, but – you know, once again, Jackson, obviously, as you know, Kenny is capable of having those games where, I mean, he can have like a 200-yard, two-touchdown game where that's probably not going to happen with Floyd. But Jackson will also have one catch for 12-yard games too, you know, obviously.
Okay. All right, well thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. I mean, yeah, this is our last week of pickups, but I appreciate the advice all year long.
So what place did you end up, Kenny?
Oh, I was in first place.
First place?
Yeah, I have the first week bye. I have a bye this week.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah, your league must hate you. You always seem to just abuse those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot of those guys. But, yeah, it's been a pretty good season. I only lost one game.
Wow. Yeah,
you know,
that's pretty good.
You know, I've seen a commercial on the Fantasy Channel where it's like, you know, the host of the show asks him, so how many guys in your league listen to the show? And he goes, well, I'm the only one. And, of course, he's dominating the league. Well, Ken, you're probably the only one who listens to this show, so that's in our own defense.
There it is. That's it. Absolutely. Yeah, you guys have given great advice. But, okay, so the quarterback situation though, is the one. So Taylor, do you think is the guy?
I'm saying Taylor, but I think Todd's saying Hoyer. And, you know, this is another thing. Kenny, as you know, with quarterbacks, you know, basically there is a lot of the guys are just going to do around the mean anyway. So it's like you can really mix and match these guys. If you had room to pick up two of these guys and you just played the matchup, that would probably be the best thing to do. So if you picked up like Winston and Taylor and then alternated when you thought the matchup was better between the two guys, that would probably be the best formula, you know.
Okay.
I'm sure, you know, that's probably what you do, right? I mean, this guy would be your second quarterback, right? Right. Who's your starting quarterback?
He's not real good. Brock Osweiler.
Oh, wow. Huh. How'd that happen?
It's a league where each team is required to have two quarterbacks on the roster.
And you lost somebody.
I had Matt Ryan, but I dropped him.
Oh, interesting. Wow, you just cut loose on Matt Ryan. And why is that?
Yeah.
I mean, he has been disappointing. But
yeah, he's been pretty bad. Yeah.
What was like the final straw for you to just drop him?
He had a couple. I mean, just a string of fumbles and turnovers, and it just hadn't been good. He had been pretty much under 20 points for like 4 weeks straight.
Okay. Yeah, that'll do it. Yep. I mean, Todd, would you have dropped Matt Ryan? I mean, I have seen that. I actually picked him up in one league and then started him, and then I saw why he was dropped. But would you think that Matt Ryan is droppable?
No, I would have dropped him. If I had to keep two quarterbacks, I just would have. I mean, you know, I've had leagues where I had to drop Andrew Luck primarily because of injury, not because of anything else. And, you know, and then there's, you know, other quarterbacks I've struggled. I mean, there was a point in time there where I considered, I mean, I have benched Drew Brees, but I never considered cutting Drew Brees. So I probably would have held on to him, I got to be honest with you, Kenny, and just used the other quarterback for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, but, and Todd, also, like, with quarterbacks, it really seems that it's not the same situation as defenses, but it's kind of close, where when there's an obviously bad matchup versus an obviously good matchup, and you've got two quarterbacks that are fairly close, then just go with the guy with the obviously good matchup, right?
Well, of course. I mean, listen, the key to quarterbacks, especially in the playoffs, and this is what I was trying to get across with Hoyer, is you just want to get consistency. You don't want to go out there and, you know, have a quarterback, you know, put up not necessarily a goose egg, but a bad score, like 8 points. You want to make sure you can get six, depending on your league scoring system, 16 to 25 points if they're capable of getting more, maybe more. But that's what you want. So looking at the matchups and looking at how effective Hoyer has been and really how well the Texans have played, I think they've won like 6 out of 7 games or 4 or 5 out of 7 games, something like that recently, that you could kind of tell they're kind of a hot team. They're playing well. He's got DeAndre Hopkins. They could basically just throw the ball up to and get a touchdown. I like that, especially against the teams he's doing it against. And then if he does it against the New England Patriots or a beat-up, and the New England Patriots still could come out and put up some points on him, you know there's not only going to, A, be garbage time, most likely, but definitely, B, be a lot – it's going to be a shootout-type game. It's going to be a game where they're going to be passing most of the time. So that's why I like Hoyer this week, especially. I mean, I picked him up, and I'm running him out there on the field in the Evan Silva League because either that or Matt Hasselbeck or my other backup, who's horrible, because that was the league I had Andrew Luck in. So I forgot who my other horrible backup was, but whoever it was, I'm not using him.
Yeah, and a great example of, like, how you can get screwed by a quarterback by sticking – you know, most quarterbacks are not matchup proof. And like last year was a great example of like how to lose your league by sticking with Andrew Luck. Although you couldn't argue with that. I mean, they were playing at Dallas, but it was week 16. He couldn't have done it at the, you know, worst possible moment. But that was the one. And this was obviously a year Andrew Luck was the best quarterback in the league, 4,700 yards, 40 TDs. But in week 16, he had 109 yards and 2 interceptions. And, you know, now, Todd, the Dallas defense last year, were they must have been pretty strong against the pass, I'm guessing, better than
no.
This year? No?
No, actually, they were all right. I mean, they, like I said, they've always had this more bend but don't break philosophy. So they wouldn't give up a lot of points, but they give up a lot of yards and catches. So you can go out there and throw the ball real well against them and put it down. The big deal was is that, you know, the Tony Romo was able to put up a lot of points, bury defenses like they did the Colts, and force them into a one-dimensional game. That happened a lot.
Yeah. But,
so,
but you
they
would,
did have a solid
you
defense
would,
last
so,
year. They did.
They, that should help a quarterback. If you get buried into they ended up losing that game 42-7, but – that would be a situation where Andrew Luck would have to throw, you know, a lot, and he didn't. He only threw 22 times. So I'm not sure what Dallas did you know, week 16 last year, but, you know, they need to duplicate that more often.
Yeah, I mean, basically what went down in that game and what they've done a lot this year is, like I said, they play back. So they don't want to give up the big play, but they will give up the intermediate plays. And that's why teams still score against them, but you don't ever see them really getting blown out like this Washington game they just had. I mean, the Redskins only got one touchdown. It was at the end of the game, and it was on, frankly, you know, a very long pass with like a 30-plus yard pass to DeSean Jackson. If you can do that to the Cowboys, you're going to score all day because Morris Claiborne and Carr can't keep up with Brandon Carr, can't keep up with good receivers. But the thing is, they leave their safeties back, and that's why you can run against them. So when you look at the projections and the comparisons, and you always see whenever someone's facing Dallas defense, it's in red, and they say they hold opposing quarterbacks to whatever rank. Well, that's true, but if you really go look at the games, I mean, Tom Brady ate them alive. You know, they did not have a very good game against the Giants. The Giants scored, was able to put up plenty of points against the Cowboys. So the good teams can put up the points against them. I mean, in the two games against the Cowboys, the Giants put up 26 and 27 points. So you can, and then even if you look at the Falcons, I mean, the Falcons put up a buttload of points on them to beat them, but they did a lot of that on the ground. But don't get me wrong, I mean, I think Julio Jones had like 11 catches in that game. So you can put points up on the Cowboys. It's just a matter of how good the quarterback is and how good the team is. And so I got to be honest with you, I don't think Tyrod Taylor is a good enough quarterback to put up points against the Cowboys in Texas Stadium. Just don't think it.
Okay. Well, Kenny.
All right, Kenny.
That's okay. It might be a good reason to edge towards Hoyer.
All right. Okay, thank you. I think they're in – aren't they in Buffalo for that game, though? Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. It is in Buffalo. I was reading that backwards. My bad. That one's in Buffalo. So, still, it's still going to be a problem for him against the Cowboy defense because the Cowboy defense, I think, matches up well, especially – and here's the kicker. I think they match up well against quarterbacks who like to run. And that's, you know, because they have the fast outside, they have the fast linebackers and you know, with Sean Lee and Rolando McClain. But then they have, of course, Greg Hardy and DeMarcus Lawrence and Gregory on the edge. And I think that, you know, they contain quarterbacks very well. Again, you could put up points against the Cowboys. So they are a team you could score against. But I just don't think that Tyrod Taylor, and I agree with you, you know, you have reason to worry. And your reason is validated.
Well, yeah, they did a pretty good job against Cam Newton on Thanksgiving.
Did they really?
I believe so. I don't think he had a monster
game.
Yeah,
they did a lot. I mean, they contained him, especially for the first part of that game. And then the second part of that game kind of got out of hand. But I do know that I know they got a couple touchdowns. And that's what I'm saying. Cam Newton is a successful quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I know he rushed in one touchdown, and that's right. They had the two interceptions, so they did do a pretty good job against Cam Newton, now that I think about it, even though I think he threw for about 200 yards. So, yeah, they put him down. But, again, he's one of the running quarterbacks. When you have running quarterbacks who depend on getting to the outside, kind of like a Tony Romo, kind of like, you know, just many of the quarterbacks, like you don't mind getting flushed out and then making a play happen with his feet, that's where the Dallas Cowboys do damage. And they did that to Cam Newton. They contained Cam Newton for the most part in that game, and they'll do it against Tyrod Taylor. And even, like, against Jameis Winston, they did it against him. I mean, they dominated Jameis Winston, I mean, but that's not saying that much. But so, anyways, I think out of those choices, you're safest to go with Hoyer and just keep your fingers crossed.
Okay, thanks, guys. Yeah, I'll roll with Hoyer. That's what I was thinking. Okay. All right, well, thanks so much, guys. I'll definitely listen to the rest of the show. Thanks, RC.
All right, good luck, man.
Okay, thanks, guys. Good luck in all your leagues, too, and good luck in the playoffs.
Thanks, dude.
God knows you're going to need it, RC.
I made the playoffs in pretty much almost all my leagues, but what will happen is, like, after the first week, I will be down to three teams in the playoff. You know, that's basically how it goes. Oh, but by the way, so speaking of like notoriously bad quarterback performances when you need them most by somebody who should have, who was expected to actually help your team, I think maybe the most egregious example might have been Kurt Warner, 2008, week 16 at New England. Do you remember that game?
I wish I did. I wish I did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a game where that. By the way, so Kurt Warner was in the midst of like a dream season. You know, he ended up with 4,500 yards. You know, that was the year that he threw for. Geez, he had like a game of against the Jets. He threw for 472 yards in one game, but just when he needed him most, week 16. That's when he went six completions out of 18 attempts for 30 yards and one interception in week 16. Thank you, Kurt Warner. So, you know, so that's an example of by the way, a big factor in that game that, you know, something to be wary of was the weather. The weather was just horrendous in that game, if I recall.
The weather is always horrendous in this part of the season, and that's just another reason why I like Hoyer. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Hoyer is some awesome quarterback. What I'm saying is when you have to make – I mean, I'm in the same position Kenny's in several leagues that I'm in where I have to start a crappy quarterback because, I mean, like, for example, I have David Carr in a lot of leagues, and he's normally like a backup in most of my leagues, but he's also been fantastic. But now I got to worry about him being at Denver. Of course, you have to, you know, take weather considerations now with Denver because it's Denver. I mean, who knows if it'll be snowing, raining, or whatever this weekend. So we better look at the weather forecast, which I have not looked at yet. But I assume it can be bad. So you got to consider, you know, okay, do I want to run in the first week of the playoffs? Do I want to run with David Carr, Derek Carr? Was it Derek Carr? I sure got to get the brothers mixed up. It's Derek Carr, right?
Yeah, not David. Big difference.
Yeah, I'm losing my mind. Yeah, big difference. Definitely a big difference. So do I run with Derek Carr? Let's just call him Brandon Carr. Let's call him Brandon. Quarterback. I mean, I could be saying cornerback, but I'm really saying quarterback. Or I could be saying cornerback, but I really mean quarterback. I'm just kidding. Okay, moving on. So Derek Carr, I'm not going to run him out this league. I probably own him. And if I don't own him in the league, you do, that we're in together, and I wouldn't run him out there in any league. So – it's, you know, you got to make your wise choices here because if you lose, like if Kenny loses, I mean, he doesn't lose this week, he's on the bye week, but if he loses next week, I think, and that's where Hoyer has the Colts. If he loses next week, well, that's troublesome for him because he went, here he goes 10-1, gets the bye, and then loses. And if he loses because of his quarterback play, he's going to be even more upset. And that's why I just want you to get some points out there. Go out there and know that you're going to get a quarterback that you know is going to pass a lot. That's why I love Ben Roethlisberger this year. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's got to be, except for the fact that he hasn't been healthy, he plays, he throws so much and has so many weapons. I mean, I was watching, you got to love this, RC. I've seen your watch.
By the way, that is the one guy that I would consider matchup proof. If I had, and I don't have him in a single league, but you're right about him. I don't care who he's playing, even Denver. And by the way, in that league where I was telling you I picked up Tyrod Taylor and I'm benching Tannehill, I also have Derek Carr. I'm not even considering Derek Carr as much as I like him against Denver. Denver has been brutal on quarterbacks. They've only given up 11 passing touchdowns all year. And that's less than a touchdown a game and an average of 215 yards a game. So I'm not even considering him. However, if it was Roethlisberger against Denver, I would probably start him because I would think if there was a guy that could beat them and come away with, you know, in some inexplicable way with, you know, 350 yards and four touchdowns, it would be him.
You know, I could not disagree with you on that, but I just don't – when I'm in the playoffs, I there's two things I don't want my receivers and my quarterbacks having to face, and that's horrible weather. Running backs can handle a little bit better. But horrible weather or brutal or hot defenses. Like right now, for example, the Texans are a very hot defense. I mean, they've been just killing it. As a matter of fact, I got to bring up their schedule here because I just had it up and now I took it down. But they've won. They basically, J.J. Watt has broke out because at first they were slumping. They were basically 6-6 in their last. I think in their last 5 games they're 4-1, and I believe in the last 7 games they're actually 5-7. So, you know, to look at a 6-6 team and to say, wow, you know, 6 weeks ago they were like 1-6 or 1-5, and now they're 6-6 is speaking volumes for where this team has now become. And they've done it with Hoyer at quarterback, and they've done it with the dominating defense. And if you look at the last, it looks like out of the last 7, I finally have it up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, they're 4-2 in their last 6 games, 5-7, 5 out of 7 out of the last 7 games. They've done it with both offense and defense. I mean, they've won 20-6. They won 10-6. That was the one game against the Bengals. I mean, the great defense of the Bengals. But then they won 24-17, 24-6, and then they lost this weekend at Buffalo in a fluke where they were dominating, and they lost at the end of that one. If you look at those games, it's a combination of good defense and good offense and a team that's just playing very well right now. And they're doing it, by the way. Hoyer's doing it without really much of a running game. I mean, he has Alfred Blue, Jonathan Grimes, Chris Polk. He has those kind of guys. And those guys aren't really making the difference here. He's doing it with DeAndre Hopkins, Nate Washington, Cecil Shorts, and that group of guys that he has. And I really do believe that if you look at him from the standpoint that you know he's going to throw, they're vying for their division. And if you look at the last game, he had 3 touchdowns and 293 yards. He threw the ball 43 times. And, of course, he hit DeAndre Hopkins on one of those touchdowns because that's what Brian Hoyer does. That's the kind of game that you're hoping you get out of him this week against New Orleans. Not against New Orleans, but that you're going to hope to get out of him against New England. And, again, by the way, he did play New Orleans. I think he took on New Orleans the week before that, and he had, again, 2 touchdowns and 200 yards. So if I can get 2 touchdowns and 200 yards out of my quarterback right now when my quarterback is Brian Hoyer, I'm going to eat that up. And that's why I'm arguing for the guys who are starting their players right now. I mean, if you have a consideration between Derek Carr and or picking up Hoyer, I mean, who would you do there, RC? Would you do Derek Carr at Denver, or would you do Hoyer, which I believe he's actually at? Is he at New England?
Hoyer this week is. They're at Houston. They're playing in Houston.
So you'll be in warm. You'll be in warm weather.
And plus there's a retractable roof, so it doesn't even matter. I would. You're right because of the Denver matchup. Derek Carr against almost anyone else, I'd be fine. But it's just that Denver has just been so brutal, and maybe I wouldn't be shocked if Derek Carr ended up having a good game. You know, I think he's got that kind of ability, but odds are he's not going to. He's not, you know, he'll have maybe a decent game, but that's it, you know. With quarterbacks, like I said, I think they're mostly interchangeable. And, you know, you really have to go with the best matchup because the bottom line with quarterbacks in most scoring systems is the standard deviation of what they're going to score isn't that great. You know, because they touch the ball so much and, you know, just taking out the extenuating circumstances of bad weather, really tough defense. In general, quarterbacks are going to basically score about the same amount. But the variation becomes greater with the other positions, obviously. You know, with a running back, you know, especially in these situations where you've got – you know, 2-3 guys like vying for the ball. You know, like you brought up the Houston situation. You know, last week it was Chris Polk. It should have been Alfred Blue. You know, he was supposed to be the starter, but for some reason Chris Polk was the guy that ended up. Take the New England situation. James White all of a sudden has a great game. The Giants situation is probably the worst. God knows who's going to actually end up doing anything, although that one's gotten more easy to predict where all those guys are going to do nothing. So then you just know, stay away from all of it. But like New England, it's like, you know, is it going to be Blunt? Is it going to be White? You know, who knows? A great situation for in a situation that's a good offense, two very talented running backs have no idea who's going to do what. Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, week to week, who knows, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's actually one league that I actually have. I had them both, and eventually what I did is I just cut Jeremy Hill because I wasn't starting either of them. This is the only non-PPR league that I'm in, and I have Marshawn Lynch. It's a 10-team league that I got into by accident for a friend of mine. And I had Marshawn Lynch, and I ended up picking up, like, Rawls and somebody else that I got. So I didn't even start any of them, but basically Giovanni Bernard's on my bench, and Hill is long out of my lineup. You know, that's a situation where really there's two teams right now that I think a lot of people have to be really concerned with, and if you haven't been concerned with them over the past several weeks, you know, you need to open your eyes, and that's the Atlanta Falcons and the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, the Bengals are good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Their defense has been stable. There's been a stable horse, but it's that offense. The running game has problems. A.J. Green vanishes out of games. Eifert seems to be the only stable horse Bad choice of words. But he's basically the only stable guy on that offense. Once in a while, Sanu shows up. Once in a while, Marvin Jones shows up. But in the end, it's the consistency is horrible. And then you go look over at what's happened to Matt Ryan. I mean, I'll tell you right now, what destroyed me in the money league was Devontae Freeman. I mean, you know, they were doing poor by that point, but he was still the guy catching all the passes because apparently Matt Ryan was afraid to throw the ball downfield, so he was throwing the ball 10, 12 times to Devontae Freeman. He goes down with a concussion, probably hurt a lot of teams, hurt my team. I lost for 2 weeks. He was out. And the one that he dropped out of, and then the week after that, and then he didn't do nothing last week except for catch about 7 or 8 passes, and that wasn't enough to get me over the hump in that game. In fact, I lost by 2 points, but I would have been eliminated anyways because somebody couldn't beat somebody else for me. You know what I'm talking about, RC?
Yeah, that was me, but I tried. What happened with Ryan Tannehill? I mean, tell me in that situation – and by the way, it wouldn't have mattered if I started my other quarterback, Derek Carr. I still would have lost because, you know, he had a tough matchup and really didn't do that much. But Ryan Tannehill against Baltimore should have been 40 points, you know?
It should have been. And frankly, you know, this is where the fantasy football is becoming so much more fun. And by the way, this is where I think in daily fantasy sports just takes a crap. Because, you know, you can sit here in a 13-game season and you can survive when your quarterback does bad 1 week. You know, and I think that's part of, you know, the whole argument. I'm not trying to get into an argument about dance. I'm just, you know, daily fantasy sports. That's a done deal. But, you know, the argument is that, hey, you play weekly. Well, when you play weekly and something like that happens to you, RC, it's pretty damaging. And as you saw for you, it was damaging. Luckily, you're in the playoffs. You already had you clinched the division, which, by the way, you're automatically in the money now. But what that does is that then, you know, that would ruin your week for daily fantasy sports. But for this week, you get another shot at it. And the one thing I've always kind of said is, you know, when a player has a bad week, if you know he's a good player, you know, odds of him having another bad week the very next week are very low, unless his name is James Jones. That's a fact. That's a fact. I am so upset at James Jones right now. I am so irate with him. I mean,
he's had about 7 bad weeks in a row now, right?
Dude, he's been – I mean, he had that one game like 3 weeks ago where he, you know, right after he put up the goose egg, and then I tweeted him out saying, hey, this is a good game of stardom. He doesn't normally, you know, do that bad 2 games in a row. It was a good matchup for him, especially the cornerbacks that he was facing. He outsized them, and he caught 6 passes for 109 yards, I think, and a touchdown. Then the next 2 games, he's caught a grand total of 1 pass for 19 yards. So he's officially on my poop list, and I will not be starting him this week in any league that I still hold him in. Because, but it's not really James Jones. It's the whole Packers team, and that's another team we can discuss because this is a team that a lot of people are dependent on in the playoffs. I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Cobb, you got Lacy, you got Starks, you got James Jones, if you have the, you know, the goal to actually start him. You got even Richard Rodgers, who's emerging as an effective tight end and really the only guy that can really pass to, you know, that Rodgers can pass to right at this point. But what is going on from your perspective? I mean, you watch the games, you've seen the struggle that Rodgers has had against good teams and bad teams. I mean, it's not like it's just bad teams. And then again, people are going to say, before you make your argument, people are going to say, well, the receivers can't get open. Well, I mean, you're talking about Randall Cobb here, who is one of the faster wide receivers and one of the more elusive wide receivers. And, you know, because I know that argument being made for the ageless wonder, James Jones, you know, but then you also got Devontae Adams and Janice, who are young speedsters. So what do you think is going on with this offense? And can they break out of it for this next 3 weeks?
I don't know. I mean, it kind of happened all at once. But, you know, one thing that, you know, you can't help but notice is that if you shut down Randall Cobb in the current configuration of receivers, James Jones is a one-dimensional guy. He's good as a complementary guy. But Devontae Adams is just not that good. You know, drops a lot of passes, not really elusive. So you've got a mediocre kind of like quasi-possession guy, James Jones, one-dimensional type guy, and then Randall Cobb can just be double covered or bring a safety over the top or whatever you got to do. And then Richard Rodgers, he's been pretty much useless except for last week, and obviously some of that was that incredulous, you know, Hail Mary thing. So it's really shut down Randall Cobb. You know, basically you don't have to pay too much attention to the other receivers. And then, you know, the running game has just been insane. Like, I think last week it was Lacy was being punished for something because, you know, he didn't play as much as he should have. And this was a guy that was finally got healthy the game before. He looked really good. And then all of a sudden, you put him in your lineup and you get almost nothing. So the Packers have just been a nightmare. But as far as their passing game goes, you know, it's not that, you know, Aaron Rodgers has necessarily lost his touch. I mean, he's doing all he can. It's just that I really think the complementary receivers to Randall Cobb dictate that just shut down Randall Cobb and you're not, you know, there's not going to be a lot of damage that's done.
Well, you know, but yeah, you're absolutely right. And it shouldn't be that way, I'm sorry. Because frankly, you know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just, you know, he's considered to be the best, if not the second best quarterback in the league. So you figure you can get around that, especially with some talent around him. I mean, he has a good running game that can get out in the flat and catch passes, especially Starks. I mean, he's known for that. For years he's been known for that. And, you know, and James Jones is a 34-year-old veteran. I mean, it's not like he's 40. Let's be honest. Maybe 34, 35. And, you know, but then he has a young Devontae Adams, you know, top draft pick type, you know, caliber wide receiver. So he has it around him. And I even think he has decent tight ends with Rodgers and Quarterless. I mean, they're decent. You know, I mean, especially Rodgers is actually really good. I think it's Aaron Rodgers. I think something's wrong with Aaron Rodgers. Something's wrong with the play calling on that team. Because what was that?
Yeah, I would say more likely it could be the play calling.
Because, yeah, because if you're not calling plays that are beating defenses, if defenses are, especially like the Lions, I mean, the Lions all year have been known as a defense that you can blow up on, you know, offensively. If you look at their first, you know, eight games, you'll see that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they go into Green Bay and hold the Packers to, like, what was it, 16 points or something like that, or 15 points. That was tremendous. And I think that was an eye-opener for a lot of other teams that were going to face the Packers, including the Cowboys, who faced them this week. And that's an interesting matchup we need to talk about because you have the Cowboys going to Lambeau against a team that's on their heels. The Cowboys are obviously coming off a big win that they needed, and they're pumped up and they're motivated and they have a lot to prove and so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah for the Cowboys. But it's going to be a tough game for Green Bay because teams already struggle to pass against the Cowboys, and now you have a team coming in who's struggling. I mean, how does this game go? I mean, you know, give me a scenario where this is a game where the Packers still flop, and then give me a scenario where you think the Packers can all of a sudden wake up out of this doldrum they're in and, you know, do what they should do to the Cowboys, and that's beat them 38-10.
Do you really think that's that could happen?
No, I'm saying if the Packers are playing at their top potential with the Cowboys coming limping in without Tony Romo, yeah, I don't see why especially in Lambeau, yeah, I think the final score should be 38-10. Aaron Rodgers should have 3 touchdowns and then probably 1 defensive touchdown and then, of course, you know, I'm sure 1 on the ground. I mean, that's what the game should be, but it's not going to be that. I think we all know. I don't think either team will – I mean, I think one team, the winning team, might break 20 points in this game.
Yeah, I that's what I would see too. I think I like the Green Bay defense in this one, you know, missing Romo. But outside of that, I don't trust any part of the Green Bay offense. I mean, if I've got Eddie Lacy and I've got him in a couple of weeks, I'm going to start him. But you know, I and if I had Randall Cobb, I would definitely start him. But the other two receivers, I'm staying away from. Richard Rodgers is basically just a coin toss. I mean, there's better options out there. But yeah, I think you're right though. I don't see Green Bay dominating this game 38 to, you know, 10 or something like that. It's going to be probably a defensive game, it seems, and the Green Bay defense is looking better than usual.
Yeah, they're looking all right. You know, I mean, they let's be frank. I mean, they've given up a lot of points. They haven't done too many spectacular things, and where they haven't given up a lot of points, they've still given up points against, you know, not so good. I mean, when they make Matthew Stafford look decent, that's probably not a good thing. Let me state this to you. In this game, and you know, if you wanted me to give you an analysis of this game, this is what to do. If you want the Cowboys want to win this game, they need to shove Darren McFadden and Robert Turbin down the Packers' throats. And their defense has got to be there. They've got to be able to get to Rodgers. They've got to be able to hit Rodgers. They've got to be able to knock him down. They don't got to necessarily convert sacks. I mean, that's not the end-all, be-all. I mean, getting 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 sacks in the game would obviously be massively beneficial to them in any way, shape, or form. But I think that's what they need to do, is they need to sit here and keep him on his heels. And at the same token, they've got to shove the ball down. They've got to run the ball for 200 yards. If they can run 200 yards, even 175 yards against that defense and hold the Packers back a little bit, this could be a nice little upset for the Cowboys. It's asking a lot, and that's a tall order. And I'm not even saying it's feasibly possible. But that's what they're going to have to do. For the Packers to win, they're going to have to run. They're going to have to run the ball effectively, put up 100, 125 yards in the Cowboys, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have to make throws. He's going to have to make, you know, several throws. And if he can hit James Jones on a long pass, if he can get Randall Cobb in the open, if he can find Rodgers again. I mean, you got to remember, they should have lost this game. This last game that they just played, they should have lost 24-20 or 23-20, whatever the score was, and the game should have been over. So if you can't even count that last touchdown for 61 yards that Rodgers got to Rodgers because it was a fluke touchdown. I mean, come on. We've seen 3 Hail Marys in the last 15 years work out. Yeah, it's a fluke. He got it great. It's a stat. If you had him in your team like I did, you score points. You know, the funny thing was in the Money League, I had Aaron Rodgers and my friend Kai had Richard Rodgers. So it did nothing for me. You follow? Yeah. By the way, you know, in that game, I wasn't even watching that game, so I had to go out to dinner with some heavy hitters. You want to call them? Just call them that, heavy hitters. And I'm just making that up. They're just friends. And I was out to dinner, and I looked at my phone, and I saw, because, you know, I have Rodgers in the Money League, and I saw, oh, the game's over, 23-20. Well, finally, it's over. And Yahoo called the game. They called it. And then I put my phone back away, and I'm going back to talk to my friends, and all of a sudden, my phone buzzes because I got the Yahoo Fantasy app, and I pull it open, and it says, you know, Aaron Rodgers throws 61-yard TD pass to, you know, R. Rodgers. Like, and you just told me this game was over. What is – and it wasn't over. Yeah. I was a little upset about that because that actually cost me points. And believe it or not, I am not even joking with you, it cost me the game. because I only lost by a point and a half, and he gained because of the long bomb and the receiver and the point he got and, you know, all that jazz. He picked up 3 points on me on that catch, even though I had Aaron Rodgers. So that catch, I didn't realize the time that cost me the game. But, again, my best buddy in the whole wide world and co-host of the show couldn't bail me out anyways. Oh, yeah. I'm a little upset. I'm a little hurt and upset at the same time.
Hey, so what do you think happens with the Saints running game now that Ingram?
That's what I
want
to get to. Let's talk about the Saints running game. We have to talk about this. Came over the wire today. Obviously, Ingram's likely out for the year. Not been made official yet, but let's count him out. I mean, for the fantasy year, he's out. Let's put you that way. So what you got to look at now is, well, what do we do? What do we do? You got Hightower. You got what's that other young guy? They got Murphy. They got the Murphy kid. And then, of course, they got C.J. Spiller. So what would you go with? I mean, you got Hightower. They picked up, you know, after Curly Robinson went down. He's been mostly, not only for them, but for his career, a goal line back, you know, Tim Hightower. And then you got Spiller. So I'm believing that Spiller is going to become the full-time back, but it's going to be a committee. It's no doubt that there's going to be a committee. And if you wanted to ask me for who I think, and I'll get your opinion on it right now, who I think is the deep sleeper here, I think his name is it Marcus Murphy. I don't have my in front of me now, but I think it's Marcus Murphy. I don't even know who this kid is. I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't even know if he was drafted. I think he had to be like a free agent, you know, signing or something like that. I don't even know. Practice squad guy. Don't know him at all. Not afraid to admit that. Team was on running backs when they started the season. No surprise that I don't really, you know, think much of him. But he you know, he's young. I watched a little bit of video on him. He's fast. He's elusive. He could play a role where he could surprise a defense who's not expecting him. You know, long-term, not a very good investment. Short-term, could be. But I think they're going to go to Spiller. I think this is now Spiller's show. And if you have Spiller in the league, you just inherited a starting running back. But, again, I don't see him getting – how many touches do you think Spiller will get? Maybe 15, RC?
Well, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think Spiller, you know, definitely becomes more interesting. But, you know, the other thing about Spiller is that he's obviously not a consistent inside runner. That's not what he does. Ideally, you know, he's almost like he's the kind of player where you really have to kind of, you know, carve out a niche for, sort of like what the Rams did for Tavon Austin this year. But, you know, he's not a conventional, like, really versatile. And the other thing about him, too, is that he's a little bit weak in pass protection, and that keeps him off the field more often as well. But I mean, I can't see really Hightower doing much. You know, he's always, you know, slow runner, not for his size, you know, not a great inside guy. He's kind of better at, you know, swing passes. And I think he, you know, definitely good at pass protection and can be valuable as a receiver out of the backfield. But he's not going to run away from anyone either, not like Spiller can. So I think if you got Spiller, you know, definitely things will look enough for him. And he could help you with, you know, some big plays and as a function of really the additional touches he should get.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, Spiller has been an enigma this year. You know, the Saints paid a lot of money for him. Thought he was going to come in and do some damage. He's had a couple of memorable games where he's done some damage, particularly against the Cowboy game. That was one game where he did some good damage and put up some points for your team. But he's been an enigma. And now, you know, the Saints are pretty much out of it. I mean, I'm sure they're not mathematically eliminated yet, but the NFC itself, is pretty much going to be, you know, besides that final wild card spot, it's pretty much kind of, and of course, the whole division battle that's going on in the NFC East and the NFC North, it's pretty much decided. You got some dominant teams in there. I don't see the Saints making the playoffs, but again, they're going to be doing evaluations on players. And they got to know, hey, is it really worth keeping C.J. Spiller? I mean, you know, they have to, and I think he is, mind you, all the injury they've had. But next year they're bringing back Curly Robinson. They're going to have Mark Ingram. Will they draft another running back just to keep that load of running backs in their backfield? Or will they cut, ties with C.J. Spiller? I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of cut running backs this year. I don't know if DeMarco Murray is going to survive with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they're going to part ways after this year. I don't think they want to spend $12 million a year. And it would be hilarious if they cut him and he re-signed with the Cowboys next year and rejoin the Cowboys at like $8 million. I mean, is that even fathomable in your mind?
I guess, you can't rule it out. that certainly would be something, though.
Because the Cowboys are going to free up money. I don't see the Cowboys even coming close to re-signing Hardy. They only signed him for a one-year deal. So I think Hardy's going to be out of the picture. That's going to free up, $10, $11 million for the Cowboys. So it could be possible. All I know is that, there's going to be a lot of personnel changes on the Eagles after this year is over because they're not going to win the division. I think this division is going to come down to probably the Redskins or Giants, and it just depends if the Giants can close out a game. I mean, you have to love that game last week. As a Jets fan, you had to love it because I was looking at it, and I'm like, it's 20-13 late in the fourth quarter. I said, great. The Jets couldn't hold back the freaking Giants. Because Giants have to lose every game and, whatever. I always hate the Giants. I hate the Giants, Eagles, and Redskins. Go figure what team I'm a fan of, okay? And then I just stopped watching the game, stopped paying attention to the game, and then I brought up my scores later on that day. I was out and about, and I'm like, oh, my God, they came back. How do they do it? The Giants, and this is why Tom Coughlin needs to be fired so quickly. I know he's a good coach, RC. I know you stand up for Coughlin. But how many games have the Giants lost this year in the last 5 minutes? When they've had double-digit point leads, or at the very least a touchdown lead in the last 5 minutes. I mean, you can't even count on one hand how many games they've lost. This is a team that really, on paper, shouldn't be 5-8. Is that what they are? Are they 5-8 or 5-9? I'm forgetting.
Five and seven.
That's right. They just had their bye week recently, so they're 5-7. They should effectively really be probably 9-3 at this point, maybe 8-4. I'd say 8-4 because they really shouldn't have lost the first game against the Cowboys. They shouldn't have lost the last 2 weeks where they've allowed teams to come back. I think they've lost 4 or 5 games in the last 5, 6, 7 minutes of a game, especially when they've had double-digit point leads. And that is a problem. I mean, when you're leading the whole game and then you blow the game at the very end, especially by making stupid calls on the field, like telling a running back on to score a touchdown. I've never understood that. You already have a lead, score another touchdown. Obviously the other team now can come back and match that touchdown and then come back and score again. Never understood that philosophy. But whatever the case is, they're at this point, there's a team that, can lose to anybody. And frankly, if it wasn't for the Eagles winning last week, I mean, there'd be even more of a mess in that NFC East. I mean, you have two teams with 4 wins, 2 teams with 5 wins, and you obviously have 4 games left in the season, and the Giants have the single toughest schedule for any team in the league, so it's going to be tough for them to do anything. The Eagles, might lose to, a high school team if the high school team played right and outwitted the genius of Chip Kelly. And then the Redskins are one of those teams that kind of just have been lucky. But out of all 4 teams, I think the Redskins are the best team to make the playoffs. They have the best schedule. They do have to face, believe it or not, the Eagles and Giants. So, I mean, they can legitimately, if they win those 2 games, they're going to gain a game on both those teams, which will now put them, in a virtual tie. And then it comes down to, I'm playing with math here. But then it kind of depends on how they play in the other two games. And they can legitimately win it. I don't think the Cowboys are going to really be able to do much more damage. I think the Cowboys will probably end the season at best 5-11. I think the Eagles at best finished 6-10, and I think the Giants at best finished 6-10. It's the Redskins that can honestly, like I said, if they can win 3 out of the 4 games, otherwise beat the Eagles, beat the Giants, and win one of their other 2 games. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not the Eagles and Giants they play. They play the Cowboys. I'm sorry. They play the Cowboys and Eagles. That's the 2 teams they play. So if they can legitimately take down the Cowboys and Eagles, they're going to eliminate the Cowboys, and then they're gonna make it just that much harder for the Eagles. So it is gonna be a fun season to watch for that side of it. But let's talk about – I'm going to get to the AFC because I know you're a big AFC
guy. But really, no one deserves to win that division. It's just horrible. And, you know, the Giants, you know, like you were saying, really were in control before they dropped three straight. But yeah, I mean, you've got three teams at 5-7, and the Cowboys are still actually in it. So, you know, basically, if the Cowboys down the stretch – can win a couple games, they could actually take that division, and that's saying a lot. I mean, they're 4-8, and to not be mathematically eliminated, it says that your division is horrible.
Well, it is, and I'm glad you're picking on my division. Let's not forget about the AFC South, which, you know, the division leader there has one more win, you know, at 6-6,
well,
and that's a lovely Colts. I mean, you know, I want to look at the AFC, though. I mean, we can. By the way, the schedule for the Cowboys is Green Bay, Jets, Buffalo, and Washington. Two out of those games are home, two are away. But for the Cowboys, it's really not important. They're good both on the road. I think they're actually better on the road a little bit. And you remember, they won like 9 straight games in a row, 10 straight games in a row before they lost earlier this season. You got the Giants that have this brutal schedule coming up where they're at Miami, a game I do not think they'll win. Then they're at home against Carolina. That could be if Carolina's undefeated. Anytime an undefeated team goes on the road to play a good team, I still think the Giants are a good team. That's a good recipe for a loss, but Carolina's just really good. I don't think they're going to lose there. Then they have to go and go all the way across the country to Minnesota. Okay, I'm making that up. They're going to go to the central part of the country. And they have to face a hot Minnesota team who's playoff bound. That game does not bode well for them. And then they wrap up the season at home against Philadelphia, which could prove to be a dominating, you know, very, very critical game. And it's going to be critical, that matchup, because you're going to have them two facing off against each other in Week 17, and then you're going to have Washington and Dallas facing off, you know, in Dallas. So we'll see where all those teams are come that week. But I got Philly, obviously. I don't think anyone will disagree with me on this, that final week will decide who's going to win that division. I mean, it could be both the Giants and Eagles have 6 wins at that point. The Redskins and Cowboys, you know, maybe, you know, still stuck at, you know, Redskins stuck at 5-4. One of those teams, you know, 4 for the Cowboys, 5 for the Redskins. One of those teams, you know, whoever wins that game could be the division winner. But Giants have to do a little bit of work before that, and so do the Eagles. Looking at the Eagles' schedule, take a look at that one really quickly. Try to pop that up. I know that they – see, their schedule is a little bit tougher. Not tougher than the Giants, but tougher than the rest of the schedule. Because I know, obviously, the final week they play the Giants. I'm just trying to bring it up here. The week before that, they play Washington. So that's the other division matchup they have. I mean, the Cowboys are kind of blessed at this point because they've finished with their division all except for one game against the Redskins. But they have Arizona and Buffalo coming up. So, I mean, you're going to be at home against, you're going to be on the road against Buffalo, on the road against Arizona. Then you got, I'm sorry, my bad, at home against Buffalo, at home against Arizona, at home against the Washington Redskins, and then they travel. So they have the benefit of being at home, and they're a very good home playing team, for 3 games in a row. But look at that schedule, RC. I mean, that schedule to me tells me that they can easily lose the next 2 games, because Buffalo is no joke, and either is and Arizona. I think Arizona is going to own them. So you're looking at them walking into that Redskin game with still only 5 wins. They're going to be 5-9 at that point. And so if, like I said, the Cowboys can pull out one of their games, the Giants can pull out one of their games, and certainly if the Redskins pull out one of their games, all of a sudden – this is a much different look for the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's going to be fun. It's confusing and fun, but it's going to be a very fun ending for that division. But I want to look at another division. I don't want to stay in the NFC. I want to look at your division, your fabled AFC North. This is one of the better divisions in the league. God bless you, RC. You got, you know, the New England Patriots. I'm surprised the New England Patriots actually haven't clinched a playoff berth yet. That's surprising. I think they just need one more win and they clinch a playoff berth. But the Jets are right behind them. You know, the Jets are at 7-5, and in this kind of a situation, they're looking like they're pretty much, you know, there's two wild card spots available, two wild cards, and there's three 7-5 teams. First of all, are you worried about your Jets? And secondly, is it possible with the demise of the New England Patriots that the Jets could actually catch them? Is it even remotely, you're there in New York, you're feeling the buzz. Is this a possibility where the Jets could pick up enough games and at least be tied with them? Maybe they're both 11-5 at the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't really see any chance of that. Because, let's see, the Patriots have Houston, Tennessee. Tennessee's a win. Doesn't matter if Tom Brady throws to himself. You know, they'll beat Tennessee. So I think one more win and it's over. And then the Jets have to face New England in New York, you know, week 16. And, you know, the Patriots have owned the Jets lately. So, you know, odds are they can just finish them off. Yeah, I mean, the Jets face a tough road because, you know, the AFC is with Pittsburgh on the heels of the Bengals, and then the Chiefs are having a strong season. That last spot seems like it's going to go down to the wire.
It definitely is. It's going to be a struggle for the Jets. I mean, the Jets don't have the hardest schedule. They have Tennessee. They got to go on the road to Tennessee, but that should pretty much be a win for, you know, a very good Jets team. Then they got to go to Dallas, which I think it should, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say it's an automatic win, but that's one that they should have in hand. So they could legitimately be looking at a 9-5 schedule when they meet up with New England. And depending what New England is, obviously if New England wins one more game, they're going to, I'm just looking at it, they have to clinch. I mean, 11 wins, you got to clinch a wild card berth or a berth in the playoffs. But if they go in there and the New England Patriots are 11-3, and the New York Jets are 9-5, and then they beat New England, so now they're 1-1 against each other. All of a sudden, you're 10-4 and 11-5. I don't know what the rest of the tiebreakers look like, but that's going to make that last game at Buffalo pretty interesting for the Jets. You know, but we'll have to see. I guess it's going to depend on how well the Chiefs play. And look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have enjoyed. You know, they've enjoyed a fairly soft schedule this far in the season. Even though they're 7-5, they've had some tough games, but they've gotten, you know, they've had the Cleveland Browns. You know, they got to play Indianapolis, who is a sorry team. They had Oakland in the mix, you know, several weeks back. They had San Diego, of course. San Francisco. They've had a lot, and of course Baltimore. They played twice, but their remaining schedule. You know, they have to go to Cincinnati this week. Great game. We're going to see. We're going to really see how well they can play against a tough defense again. They looked all right against Seattle, but they're going to be at Cincinnati, division game. That's a brutal game. Then they have to go back home to Pittsburgh to face the best defense in the league in the Broncos. And then they get to wrap it up with, you know, on the road against Baltimore and Cleveland. And neither of those games are going to be fun games for them. Granted, they'll probably win them, you know, because they're both pretty crappy teams, but they're division rival games on the road in late in the season. Always, you know, ask any handicapper. You know, I've done handicapper work down here in town. Trust me, I'm tight with a few of them in town here. Those games are never fun for handicappers because of how tightly they play. So I'm looking at those games, RC, and I'm thinking danger, Will Robinson. So looking at that, what do you think about the Steelers?
If they can win one of those two next games, you know, like you said, at Cincinnati or at home against Denver, that's really the key to them clinching. I think if they can win one of those games, then they're definitely going to be in. They're not going to overtake.
All right, what about, and then you have the Kansas City one, and this is the one that hurts you the most because Kansas City's schedule for the final four games of the season is probably one of the easiest schedules, and deservedly so because they were pretty awful last year. But they San Diego at home this week, Then, of course, they go to Baltimore. They go back home against Cleveland, and they're home against Oakland. So they have three home games, all against pretty soft teams. So it looks like, to me, this is rounding out to be a battle between the Jets and Steelers. Would you disagree?
I don't know. I mean, I can see the Chiefs losing to Cleveland and definitely Oakland. I mean, Oakland's really improved a great deal. So, San Diego's just a mess. And, Baltimore is just too injury-riddled. But, with the Chiefs, you just never know. Because, remember, obviously they lost their marquee player. They still have Alex Smith, I think, has been effective at quarterback, but he's not going to carry a team. Their defense has been playing, definitely better down the stretch. But with the Chiefs, would it shock you if they drop four straight? I mean, they're not the Patriots. that could definitely happen, despite the fact they have an easy schedule.
It could, and it should happen. I mean, because the Chiefs just aren't that good. I mean, they've won six in a row, after losing five in a row. Whenever you see a schedule like that, wherever you see somebody lose five out of six and then win six in a row, it's Jekyll and Hyde. Same thing with Houston. I mean, Houston won all those games in a row, won five out of seven or five out of six, and then, got beat when they basically let Buffalo win that game last week. And I think they were up by 10 points going into the third quarter that game, and it just got away from them. Whenever you see the six straight wins and five straight losses right before that, you say, well, which team is going to show up now? And my answer to that is, you're right, you don't know. I mean, San Diego, it is a division game, and division games can cause problems for people. So, this is going to be a fun end of the season.
Before they shut us off, tomorrow's game is actually pretty good for a Thursday night game. Minnesota, Arizona.
Oh, I think that's a great game. Fantasy wise, it's a crappy game, but NFL wise, fantastic game. Because that's a true test for Minnesota. Minnesota's a playing outstanding ball, and we all know how good Arizona is. Before we wrap up the show, I did put the show at 90 minutes. That's why they haven't closed off yet, but they could any minute now. Let me get a prediction out of you. Give me the two championship games from your point of view right now in the season. Give me your AFC championship game, and then give me your NFC championship game.
AFC championship game, Bengals against Patriots. And I'm going to say the Bengals do it by some miracle. NFC Cardinals.
I see.
Panthers. And I'm going to say the Cardinals win that. So I think Cardinals-Bengals this year.
Cardinals-Bengals. I'm going to go with you on – I'm going to say I think it's definitely – you're going to see NFC championship game. I agree with that. I'm looking at Panthers, Cardinals, possibility of a Minnesota sneaking in there. I just really don't think there's any other team that's going to be viable enough to get past, especially on the road against either the Cardinals or the Panthers. I do think that I agree with you. I think this is a Super Bowl year for the Cardinals. Believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying that. And then on the AFC side, you're definitely looking at there's so many teams on the AFC side that can, it depends how healthy the Patriots are. Clearly the Patriots are the favorite in this one. The Bengals, fantastic team, but when you're going with Andy Dalton, it tends to be a little risky. I'm going to go with a little bit of a different point of view on it, and I'm going to say that this one very well would be a Pittsburgh versus New England championship game. Obviously, I think that New England will hold out and win it, and it'll be New England versus Arizona in the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to say who's going to win that game because I don't want to say New England's going to win another Super Bowl. So I'm going to stay away from that. But I assume Gronkowski is going to be healthy. Do you think he's going to play this week? We never answered that question. Is Gronk going to are they going to throw him out there?
I don't think so.
All right. All right, yep. Let's put a wrap on this show because I know they're about to kick us off. I know you're getting a little tired. It was a great show. We got to go a little extra time today, and I do appreciate that, RC. Anything else you have on your mind before you wrap up?
No, I think tomorrow night's game, you definitely want to start David Johnson. And, you know, he's like the one guy I think, you know, definitely tomorrow night that can help in terms of fantasy.
Absolutely. By the way, I did get him in the Riders League. I happened to pick him up the week before just because I desperately needed a running back, and that was a pickup that could very well win me a championship.
Yep, it could.
All right, RC, great show, and enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll visit you guys next week and see who we have left for the championship games of fantasy football.
Bye, man. Have a great week.
You too, RC.